Thank you, brother. Purposefully made. Purposefully made. Raise your hands, and Brother Mark will get you a copy of it if you do not have one. And once again, hopefully you grasp what this Bible study is saying to you. That, first of all, everybody has been born with a specific purpose. We all been born with an overall purpose. And then you've been born with a specific purpose. Your gender tells you what purpose you are. Where you've been born tells you what purpose you are. And then there's something for you on what part you fit into the body of what purpose you serve. Where we fail is we try to mold our kids into a purpose of desire instead of molding our kids into a relationship with God to know their purpose. Do you understand that? I don't care how much you work as hard as you want to be, God already made you what you're going to be. So you're just going to be very awkward and bad at something that you desire to be because that's never what he intended you to be. Do you understand that? So the thing is, or if you allow your desires or anything else get in the way, you'll mess up on that as well. Our goal is to have this relationship with God to understand what my purpose is. So it falls in different ways. So where we got a chance to go over last week, the last part we did was we are part of a whole and we do not get a choice of what part. And we are to know what part God made us for. That was the 1 Corinthians 12:14-25, where it told us that the body is not made up of one part but of many. And it told you just because you say I'm not the foot, you don't cease to be in the body. What he's basically saying, as a Christian, you're whatever part he says. Please understand this. You got to grasp this. So if you choose not to do what your role is, doesn't mean you're not part of the body. You just become an ineffective part of the body. All right. Now you may lose rewards. Doesn't mean you're necessarily not a Christian in that case, but you're just very ineffective. Okay. And that's not a good thing to be. Okay. You are, if you're a foot, you are a foot. What it makes me do is strive to be what he would have me to be. Do y'all get this? Everybody get that? Okay, and this is where this whole thing, that's how you figure out your gifts and you know everything you're supposed to be. And then we went through the different ones he gave of gifts. And that's why it said, if you went in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, everybody say every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Did y'all see that? Okay, so he put us where he wanted us to be. And that's why it says the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In other words, the need you to survive song, it's on the head. We need each other. Missing part of the body, you will have a problem. Okay? And so the ones that may down here on earth may get more praise, it's the ones that don't get as much praise that are going to get more praise in heaven. In other words, sometimes we may strive to be the one that's more glamorous. You got where I'm coming from. But it's the one that's behind the scenes that does the most dirty work that's going to probably get the biggest reward. Do y'all understand that? Okay? The point of it is just, God, what would you have me to be? If that makes sense. Yes?
Can we use that, Pastor, this 1 Corinthians 12:14, for those that think that they can stay at home and learn the Bible on their own?
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, actually tell them that we are all part of a body. You need to get out there.
Not just that one, but Ephesians 4, 11 through, that's why Ephesians 4:11-16 really tells us that. Because the whole concept of it is it was he that created, and he's showing the structure of church service, but it's done with the body. Do you understand? So when you sit at home and you're not gaining that action that comes with the body, you're missing something. I don't care how hard or how brilliant you are, you're missing something because he made it this way. Please understand, anytime we do something outside of God, by sight, it may seem like it's working. And that is the distraction. Think about the very first distraction when she saw that the tree was good for eating and gaining wisdom. It seemed great. This seems like a good idea. And this is what we do. We do stuff right now that we know the Bible says this, but we did this and it seemed like it worked. That's doubt, as the question was asked earlier. That is doubt. So yes, absolutely. So when a person sits at home, and he even says in Hebrews, don't get in the habit of doing that. Do you understand that? That's doubt. And that's a lack of faith. Because faith comes from the word. When I do something not based on what God says, but based on me, I lack faith. I lack faith. I can't get the word. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Does everybody get that? Okay. So understanding we all play a role. God put us where he sees fit. So that's where we are at. So we must stop thinking high of ourselves. Instead, we must start seeing us through God's eyes. Now look what it says in Romans 12, 3 through 6. Romans 12, 3 through 6. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Now, right there, he's not saying not to think of yourself. He's saying, don't think of yourself of what you're not. Do you understand that? So I must know what I am. Okay, so there's something to it. And then he tells me what? "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Now, one of the biggest reasons why we fail on this is because a lot of us, if not most of us, are still walking by sight and calling it faith. And that's why this confuses us. You understand that? We're still going off of emotions. We're still going off of some sort of feeling, still going off of some intelligence, going off of what other people say, not going off of faith. We all have a measure of faith that God has given. You understand that? When I live by that and I grow by that, that's what I'll have. I'll have a clear understanding of certain things. That's mine. And that's as high as I go and I stop. Okay? That's why it gets dangerous when we go, you know, you can do anything. You know how we tell our kids that? And I know it sounds great, but it's wrong. It's, you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Now, what that means is, so that means I can't do it by myself because Christ, who told me that, said, I also need you. You see how that works? Okay, I'll be searching my relationship with Christ because that's the only way I can do everything. And I find out, hey, I can't do everything by myself. So the thing is, I don't think of myself as being able to do anything. I look and say, okay, what would God have me to do? So I have to have that relationship. He says, rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Everybody say function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, he says we all have this gift, and it's all based on the faith given us. And based on the faith given us that we get through the grace that has been provided for us. Do you understand that? So now, like I said, a lot of people go, so what is that? That's where we have to now really grow in our faith. Faith is lacking because sight is so powerful today. Do y'all get that? That's why so many people go, so what's my gift? Secondly, we've made gifts only the ones that are fantastic or the ones that are outstanding, the ones that are sexy, the ones that just look good. We made gifts. So everybody wants the gifts that really stand out and wows people. While some of them can be what we call, when we did gifts, remember some of them, gifts of service, gifts of encouragement. Some of you, that's it. That's going to be your main. And you may do that to a T. You did an excellent job. Do that. That's the task God made you do. Why are you keep adding to it? Well, I think I got to do this, and I'm going to do this. You're supposed to be encouraging, but I got to go clean, and I got to mop, and I got supposed to be encouraging, but I got to go paint, and I got to go. Why aren't you encouraging? You understand that? Okay? It's like the foot saying, okay, I'll walk, but I also got to talk, and then I also got to, you know, think, and I also got to, you know, and the foot, you're like, but the body's tripping because the foot's not doing what it's supposed to, just walk. Do y'all get this? You understand? So when he's saying, don't think highly, you go, my gift is encouraging. I'm going to encourage. You understand? And I'm going to pray to God and be the best encourager. Do you understand? I can really focus on my ministry or giving sermons, because that's mainly when I first started, I was like, I got to go and do this, and I got to make sure I engage in this, and I got to add this. You have some ministers that overextend themselves, and even the gift that's been given to them gone. Why? Because they overdo it. Or you have those that underdo it. I'm scared, and I don't know what to do, so we go high. Do y'all understand this? When we overdo it, God is not impressed. People in the world is. God is not. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand, okay? He wants you to do what he has you to do, okay? So that we have a function, that's the function, all right? So you understand, y'all get it so far? Okay, it says, then we must realize our life is a series of tasks which we have a purpose, and it is never, everybody say never, about us. And this is where this verse comes in so clearly in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, it says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? He says, only servants. Now, the key of only servants have a job. to serve. Do you understand that? Okay, you can also say instruments. They have a job. Okay, so if I'm a trumpet, only when they pick me up for that song to play me, I just better be ready to be played. That's it. Not, hey, while I'm not being played, I'm going to go over here and do some percussions. And then you can also play me like a piano, because I'm horrible at percussions, and I'm not great as a piano, because I am a trumpet. Do you understand that? Okay? So he says, they're only servants through whom you came to believe. It says, as the Lord has assigned each his task. Now, once again, where'd you get the task? From the Lord. So did you get to choose if you're a trumpet or if you're a drum or if you're new? It says, as the Lord has assigned. All this is by us walking by faith. The only way we know this is when we walk by faith. He says, now watch. He says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. Now remember when we started this and we talked about the gift comes from the Spirit. The services are like Christ, but it's God that does the work. It's just the same concept. It's all about God. My job is use me so you can work. Do y'all got where I'm coming from? Use me. So when I give a sermon, it's not me trying to get you to understand me. It's just me planting the seed. Let him work. That's it. You understand? Now, if I now go, I'm going to now do this, and I'm going to really, and I'm, because I need to make you understand. Now, I'm trying to do what God is supposed to do. That's why he says, God made it grow. That's why I put that in bold. It's God that does it. Do your part, God. And that's why he says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Now, and I know more and more today, we as churches are trying to build up people's confidence, and that's the problem. Because it's not about you. We are nothing, and we want to be nothing. I want them to applaud God. I want them to see God, not me. Do you understand that? Okay? And so you understand, it says we're not, or anything. It says, but only God who makes things grow. I don't want them to glorify me if they get saved. I don't want them to thank me if they get healed. I don't want them to praise me if things go right or if they learn to grow in Christ. None of that. All I am just a means through. Do y'all get this? Amen? Okay. So it says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Do y'all catch that? Now, it doesn't mean sometimes some of you may not have multiple purposes. It's just don't break your neck going to trying to find multiple purposes. I think, like the world, we think if I'm busy and I got a lot and I'm doing it, then that's going to be. And God's like, where did I tell you to do that? Just go plant the seed. Do you understand that? And plant, you, man, you plant that seed the way you're supposed to. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Did y'all catch that? Well done, my good. That's what we want. Well done. That was great. Now, if I'm out there trying to plant a seed and then also planting a tree and painting a house and all that sounds great, but it's going to be, what are you doing? Do y'all get this? Everyone understand that? You know, my one grandbaby, she always tries to do extra. And I told you one time, my mom said when she got up, just do the dishes. That's all she said. So she got up earlier and she said, I'm going to make pancakes or whatever for the kids. So for the other brother and sister, and she got up and she put eggs and she cracked eggs. Unfortunately, the shells fell into it also. So she made matters worse. And her mom went off. Now, the first instinct was for me to go, well, she meant well. But I had to stop and say, no, she was given a rule. So I did tell her mom, don't get as mad because she meant well. But I went to her and said, but what did your mom tell you to do? Because in her mind, but because I meant to do more, I kept saying, what did your mom told me to do dishes? Why didn't you just do that? Just do what you're told to do. I said, you really want to make your mom happy? Just do. And the more we do that with Christ, instead of going running ahead, do you understand this? The more we can stay and really grow in where he placed us. Does that make sense? All right. And if, you know, and this is what where I think we've gone too far today, because man keeps trying to impress God with himself. And there's nothing about us. It says, the man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his labor. Think about that. So you have a job, you have a task, you're going to get rewarded on that. Do all that other junk you want to do, you just did a bunch of free nothing. That probably took away from what you're getting rewarded for. Did y'all catch that? Okay. I was mad one time I worked on a job, and the job I had, it was after a company closed down, and I was supposed to keep the computer running, and I did. So they had an auction. I helped with the auction. I told the guy I helped with the auction. He said, that's not what I paid you for. He almost didn't pay me for the computer. I had to argue with him. And then I finally said, you don't have the password to the computer. So until you give me money, until you give me pay, you won't get in the computer. And then he gave me the check, and then I quit. So then, but the problem is, and it shouldn't have gone that way, because he was right. And in the thing, but I'm thinking, I'm going above and beyond. Same thing I told my daughter. What were you hired for, Keith? Do that computer. I should have sat at that computer. Did y'all get this? And I know some people today, I hear jobs go, I hate it when people say, just do your job. That's not my job. Companies do that almost as a ploy to make you do other jobs for free. If you really think about it, do you understand that? Because unions had it to where if everybody did it, more people would work, we'd have more people employed, and more people doing, and less mistakes happening. That's a whole nother story. Okay, so, but with that said, the point I'm saying is do what you're given and do it great. Stop trying to add to it. You want to impress God, do what he says. And he says, you'll be rewarded according to your own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Does everybody get that? Do y'all see how this concept works? Okay? And how the purpose. So now, we must stop getting distracted and start being focused. Stop getting distracted and start being focused. So how do we do this? First of all, make heavenly things your permanent focus. Make heavenly things your permanent focus. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set, everybody say set, your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Now, this doesn't mean when you're going through a hard time, think of heavenly things. Set means all the time. Understand, Satan's job now is to distract you on your feelings, how things look, your situation, whatever he can to make you look elsewhere. Do you remember the attacks he did to to Jesus? Every attack he did to Jesus was to distract him. First, his content on who he was. If you really are the Son of God. You know what I mean? I know you're hungry, so he did on his weakness, change that stone to bread. And then he showed him one thing of testing if he really trusted in God. Go ahead and jump, prove it. God will save you. Then he showed him, look at all this splendor. So he didn't even went after his desires. I'll give you all this if you bow down. Do you understand what I'm saying? He went and he does this to us every day. So now, do I allow my emotions to dictate? Do I allow what I think, what I see? Or am I always focused on what the Bible says? I might feel this way, but the Bible says. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Set your mind on things above, not. Everybody say not. And I probably should have put not in capital letters, because just like walk by faith, not by sight, this is one of those either ors. This is not, hey, try not to let earthly things, but it's not. The clear thing is not. I can't equal what's going on with my job with Christ. I can't equal what's going on with work with Christ. I can't equal what's going on with emotion with Christ. All that must go through Christ. So while I'm going through it, I'm focused on things above. While I'm going through my job, I'm focused on things above. Y'all get where I'm going with this? I'm focused on, God, how does this work in my walk with you? All right, my thing with my family, how do I deal with this in my walk with you? Not, God, they're getting on my nerves. How do I get this promotion? God, I can't study because. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay, set your mind on things above. Everything I do is focused on how am I doing what you would have me to do, even in my job, in school, in relationships, in my sickness, in my happiness, in my enjoyment. Y'all see where I'm going? I'm always focused on how am I focused on you. Amen? Okay, any questions? Everybody good with me so far? Okay. Also, the only way to make the right choices is by faith. Now, 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12 says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours. Now, if you notice, they're still praying for a person to live in God's calling, and every act prompted by your faith. Why is that so important? Because are every act we do prompted by your faith, or is it prompted by something else? Y'all catch that? A lot of us, what we do is prompted by an emotion. Prompted by me seeing somebody else. Prompted by what I think I know. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Prompted by my faith will be fully based off of God's word. Period. Okay? That's why he says, prompted by your faith. It says, we pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Reason why, when people see us, they don't always see Christ, because we don't always do things in the name of Christ. We do things and we want Christ to sign his name on it. Big difference. Do you understand that? I didn't do it fully because of what the Bible said. I did it because I thought maybe that's what Christ would do. In reality, like I said, those bumper stickers, what would Jesus do? Most people guess. Not, well, let me just go see what the word says. We go, Jesus wouldn't allow that. Where was that at? Amen. That's why people ran around. What kind of love is it? Unconditional love. That sounds great, doesn't it? It's not what the Bible says. I was one of the ones saying that when I was younger. That's unconditional love. Sounds great. No, there's a condition. There's a major condition. All right? And if you don't do it, you'll love and go against something he told us not to love. So that's a problem. It says, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to, everybody say according to, the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so in other words, the glory won't come based off of your interpretation, but according to grace. This is why we're so confused in spirituality, because we reformed or retranslated spirituality. We really think God is really focused during this season. Some people really in their mind think God, during when Christmas comes around, he gets closer to the earth, gets closer to us, sitting in churches, getting very quiet, we really think, while he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore, he hasn't changed. But for some odd reason, through an emotional, how many of y'all feel, and people, or you know people that feel, or people go through an emotional change, and we think it's spiritual. It's not according to grace. Grace never said anything about this season. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? We do. We make more out of stuff than what it really is. Okay? So we have to make sure it's by faith. And also, we may not see the benefits now, but it will be worth it later. And this is another form of faith, is not looking at what you see, but based on what he says. Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So present suffering. First of all, he's letting you know you're suffering. You're going to go through something and it's going to be painful. And I said, there's going to come a time when you see the outcome, you're going to go, and that was it. I don't care whatever you're going through. He's saying that. And you're going to go, that's all I had to go through. And this, that's faith. And that's what he's saying in Hebrews 11 when it ended, that all of them ended without seeing that final thing. And when they get that final goal, they're going to be like, no matter what they went through, that was it. And I get this. Do y'all see that? Okay, we can't comprehend it. But that's only if you walk by faith. If you don't walk by faith, you're like, God, I can't deal with it. And we go the other way, or we do other things. You'll see the problem. Okay? And that's where it becomes a major problem. Those situations are not always ideal. It's always to a Christian's benefit. Okay? Those situations are not always ideal. It's always to a Christian's benefit. Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good. Now, the key word is all. Everybody say all. So that means every situation you go through, even the things you do, he's working for your good. When it hurts, it's for your good. We got to see a good time of it. I mean, a good reason when Paul got that thorn. It was for Paul's good. He really explained that clearly. He says, no. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. He's letting Paul know, I need you to really just depend on my grace. And in this case, I need you to fully depend on my grace. Do you understand that? 100% on my grace. So that's all you need is my grace. You know what I mean? And just kind of focus on that if that's the case. So I need to get you out the way. I need to get you out the way. So I got to make you weak. Now, not knowing any better, all he was noticing was this torment, this beating, this horrible thing he was dealing with, and it was bad to him. Do you get where I'm coming from? And he was frustrated with it. But he noticed this, he says, but God's working for our good. So whatever you're going through, you may feel frustrated. That's fine. Just don't be frustrated. He's working for your good. And I have to, and that's why we should encourage each other with that. Encourage, not don't be careful not to bash people with it, but encourage each other with it. It says, and he works for the good, but it's only for a certain group of people, of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There's two things in that. First of all, those who love him, you'll see living for him. And those who are called according to his purpose are Christians. Christians are living for the purpose of God, for the purpose of Christ. It'll only benefit those. Everybody else, you're just going through the motions. You're just going through time and chance, and that's it. And that's all. Make sense? All right. So now, what must we do to serve our purpose? What must we do to serve our purpose? First of all, We have to consciously disconnect from the world and spiritually renew our minds to know our purpose. This is a continual daily thing. We have to consciously disconnect from the world and spiritually renew our minds to know our purpose. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world." First thing. So now, how did you deal with that circumstance before? What was it based on? You see how this works? Doesn't mean go try to find some Christian colony and only watch Christian TV, listen to Christian music, put on some Christian clothes, eat some Christian food. You know what I'm saying? That? Sometimes I think we think, if I just get away from the world, then no, it's not what he's saying. He's saying, no longer do it the way the world tells you. Do you understand that? You no longer be influenced by the world, you influence the world. So it's saying, no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I used to deal with this way, but the Word told me to deal with it this way. I used to go through it this way, but the Word tells me to do it this way. Let's have Bible study so I can understand this one. Hey, when I went to work, we dealt with this. Let's understand what the Word is telling me on this. No, I don't want your advice on this and this. I need to know what the Word says on this. Y'all got where I'm coming from? The more I get what the Word tells me, the more I'm transformed. The less you get the Word, all you're just getting is advice. You're just transforming yourself from one fleshly way to another fleshly way. That's all advice. When you get advice from me, based on me, you're just getting my fleshly way of doing it, which is part of the world, instead of your fleshly way of doing it, which is part of the world. Still part of the world. You're still stuck in the wrong thing. You're still being conformed. I need the Word. Do y'all get this? Okay? To be transformed. And now, why is that so important? It's saying, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, who's the one who arranges the body? God. Who tells you what your gift is? God. All that is part of what? His will. Oh. So why don't I know my gift? Because I don't know His will. Why don't I know His will? Because I'm still conforming. I still get the same attitudes I get in the world. I still follow things based on the world. I'm still doing things based on the world. Or I'm trying to be holy on my own. I'm not doing what the Bible tells me to do. Do you understand that? Okay, this is something very, the more we do this, the more you get transformed, the more you understand, got it, I'm a servant. You'll be able to serve your purpose clearly. Do you understand that? Everybody get this? Okay, then it says, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Spiritually focused on the right thing, not the wrong. Spiritually focused on the right thing, not the wrong. Colossians 3, 1-4 says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. First of all, your heart represents? Mind represents? One person said it. Path. Think of it. So your one is the purpose, is the why. Think of it as the why, the reason why you're doing it. Okay? The mind is now how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it. You understand? The path I'm going to take. Always think of it that way, okay? So my purpose is God. Everybody's purpose should be the same. So when it tells me in this first part, set your hearts on things above. He automatically told me, make sure it is heavenly. It's based on God. This has to be a godly reason. Purpose, always based on what God says, where Christ seated at the right hand of God. And then set your mind on things above. So that means now, here's the deal. Have you heard somebody who told the truth, which is godly? Truth is godly. But how they did it, they were very ignorant and pushed somebody away. You see the problem there? So how they did it, so their heart was in the right place, mind was messed up. They pushed more people away by yelling at them. You're not supposed to do that. What's the matter with you? Now you have people running away. How come nobody's listening to me? Because you're evil. That's what, you know what I mean? The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Now the mind will tell me, I got to get it to them, but I got to do it in love. I got to disassociate, but I can't treat them as an enemy. How do I know this? Because it's what the Bible told me. Y'all see how this works? Okay? I'm following the Bible's way of doing it, with the Bible being my purpose. Okay, so he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. He says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What died? So do y'all notice we still get in the way? If you're true Christians, you're dead. Satan keeps waking you back up, giving you doggone CPR and making it about you, right? And that's the problem. And then we get in the way. All right, God, I know you want me to do it, but what about me? And God, my feelings are hurting. I don't feel like it. And I don't want it. We give all this other stuff, and we become worthless. Okay? So we have to understand, you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. So it's no longer we become avatars for Christ. We just become Christ. You just move me. Once again, instruments. I'm just playing whatever he wants me to play. I'm not a trumpet that says, I only play jazz. You play something else, I'm going to shut down. And you understand, that's what we tend to do. It's when you play classical music on a trumpet, go ahead. Allow me to be that trumpet. Y'all see how that works? You put me wherever you would have me. Not only if you play this, I'll do it. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Y'all catch that? We'll do this last one, then we'll close. And reverently live a saved life. And I know I got a little bit. We'll do the last ones next week, God willing, and start a new one. But reverently live a saved life and allow God to work in you. Now, here's the problem. Today we have taught grace in the case of saying a few words. Now you're a Christian. Go ahead and run. The problem is we don't realize that in this faith, faith is shown in my action. We see that in James. And we do it out of fear, not a timid fear, but a reverent fear so God can work. This is what this verse in Philippians 2, 12 to 13 means. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. The key, he said, is obeyed. He didn't say add on to it. He didn't say try to impress. He said obeyed. He said, I want you to even obey when I'm not there. I want you to live in such an obedience that, man, you display the Bible. Okay? Watch, he says, in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. These two elements, man, if we start adding these, you'll see a change in most people's life. Fear and trembling. Now, the fear and trembling part go together with a, is that what God wants me to do? Now, what I learned to fear and trembling was, is, okay, I'll get the answer. Then I'll go, Lisa, the Bible says, is that right? Can you check the Bible and make sure I'm right? We'll also say, okay, can we have a Bible study on it? All right, then we talk about it again. This is what we do today. Yeah, I know. Right? No fear. No fear. And this reminded me because it was one math test I had. And I thought I had to figure it out. I was teaching people this way of doing it. All and over. Took the test. Failed. Wait a minute. I know this math. What happened? There was two things I was missing. Very small things, but it made the answer wrong. Y'all get what I'm saying? It was something in calculus. And I remember that. I remember seeing that thing. And it was because when I went, oh, man, he starts playing it. I would do, oh, I get it. How many of us do that? Because there's no fear. There's no fear. The difference is I get to work around doctors. I work on computers. Mess up the computer, it's just a mess up computer. Man, if I was a surgeon and knew the person died because of me, I couldn't live with that. And we need to live our lives with that mindset of, okay, am I doing this right? I'm getting ready to go and make this cut. Let me check it again. Do you understand? Fear and trembling is, hey, are we cool? Let me ask somebody else. Hey, is it what I'm getting ready to do, is this right? All right, we're going to talk about it tomorrow before I do it. Is this right? You got where I'm coming from. The fear and trembling. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Fear and trembling. Timid fear would be, I'm not doing it. That's wrong. That's not what he's saying. Remember, that's what he said to the other servant who hid his coin. So that's unacceptable. I can't be fearful timidly and go, I'm not doing it. It has to be how I'm going to do it. It got to be right. So I'm going to check on it. I'm going to check on it again. I'm going to ask. I'm going to bring others in. And you better give it to me from the word. I'm going to check it again. Now I'm getting ready to do it. And as I'm doing it, I'm still asking God. Is this right? Another cut. How about this, God? Another cut. How about, you got where I'm coming from? Fear and trembling. I got to do this right. So when I'm done, if something happens, I go, I did everything that my father told me. Did y'all catch that? Not, well, Keith, you missed something. Because I went into the, oh, I got it. Oh, I get it. Y'all see the problem? Okay, it's very important. You're going to get this because it's where a lot of us are. In that part of, we're not really fighting to get the word. Okay? Fear and trembling. Here, I'm going to give you one big thing on fear and trembling. You know how you even take the time out to come out on Wednesdays? You take the time out to have groups. You have time out to do things yourself. That's part of fear and trembling. Why? I might miss something. Y'all get where I'm going with this? I can't afford to miss anything because that one thing I miss may be the thing I need in my life. But we usually get the, well, I can. Right? Okay? Just giving just little things in life where we look at it. And it says, watch this. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It is God that does it. Okay? So I want to be that instrument that he's getting ready to play. I better be in tune. I better be what I'm supposed to be. I better be a trumpet acting like a trumpet, not a trumpet acting like a piano. You understand that? Because if he blows in and he's hearing piano sounds, trumpet's being put down, he's getting another trumpet, I failed. Even though I meant well, I failed. Do y'all get this? Okay? So fear and trembling is, so I'm a trumpet. What am I supposed to do as a trumpet? So I'm in the Word studying. This is a trumpet. God, I'm going to be the best trumpet you would have me to be. Everybody get this? This is the first. Let this sink in. God willing, we will finish this up next week. Any questions? All right. Let's pray.